If you are a coach of the team that is going up against the Warriors, what would you say? Well, team, good luck. It has to take courage to be a squad, to take the field against the Wheaton Herman Norcross nine-man football team, because these Warriors have had an exceptional year. They are on an undefeated season, and now they're heading to the Fargo Dome to see how far they can actually go. And it's not like they're just getting by. It's not like they're getting lucky. They're annihilating the competition, like yesterday's win of 54-0. And for some of those teams, it must really feel like they're facing giants. Maybe you feel like one of the Warriors' opponents. You're feeling overwhelmed by the odds that life has brought you. Maybe you just want to run, turn around, and retreat. If you feel like turning the other way, let me encourage you. It's time for a courageous decision. Let me say that again. It's time for a courageous decision. Make a choice to rise to the challenge, to be strong, be courageous, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The key today, the Lord your God is with you. So be strong, be courageous. That truth that the Lord is with us makes all the difference, no matter how big your giants are. There will be seasons in your life, if you're not already in them, when the odds are clearly against you. All that you see are the obstacles around you. You'll even wonder if maybe you've been abandoned, like maybe God isn't with me anymore. You'll question whether the struggle is worth it. Maybe you feel like your best option actually is just to give up, to turn around and run the other way. When you find yourself overwhelmed, and there will be times when you do, when life circumstances just fill you up and make you feel like you're all alone, don't give up. I'm going to say that again. Don't give up. Because you are not alone. The Lord, your God, is with you. Turn to someone beside you. If you see that on the screen, God is with you. Turn to someone and just remind them today of this truth. God is with you. Go ahead and tell them. God is with you. God is with you. We start at that very foundation, and that's what we're discovering today in the story in chapter 7. As we together read the story, which is the continuous story of God and God's people, we're doing this together as a church, and we want to invite you online or in person to come along with us on that journey. So as we read, as we discover, it reminds us that it's time to make a courageous decision. It's time to rise to the challenge that God has placed before us, because you are not doing this alone. God wants to make himself known to the whole world, to the world around you, and God accomplishes that especially well through your battles. That's right, your battles are a way that God uses to reveal himself to the world around you. And in the story today, we see that God doesn't give up on his people, and God doesn't give up on you. So we look at chapter 7 as we're reading together as the church. The challenge is for Joshua and the Israelites right now. The challenge is on. After 600 years, God had promised to Abraham this promised land, a place where they would flourish, a place that God would give them inheritance, where their numbers would be as great as the sand on the seashore. They're now on the edge of this promised land, but there's a big, big problem. They're there like they were 40 years ago, and guess what? The giants, they're still there. The giants are still in the land. So God simply says, now is the time for courage, right? It'd be like facing the Warriors on the football field. Now is the time for courage. This message is a timely one today because I think our task, your task, my task is the same. God's people are to make God known. You and I are to be a living witness in our world, but we do face some obstacles, right? We do face some very real giants. And it might be easy for us to think that we can maybe just step aside, think someone else is going to take on this battle. We'll just sit on the sidelines until everything's done and everything's settled out. But the church, at least in our part of the world, is facing really a crisis. The church is not growing post-pandemic. In fact, it seems like the opposite is true. But the message of the gospel is as relevant as it has ever been. It just needs more delivery people. It's kind of like UPS at Christmas. Drivers needed, right? Well, that's the message for the gospel today. Drivers needed. I think the Holy Spirit is prompting the church, now is the time for courage. Now is the time for courageous action. Our mission at Bethlehem is to make followers who make followers of Jesus. And when that's our story in our communities that we represent here and online, when that's our story, then we are actually aligning with God's upper story to get his people back. So whatever giants you personally face today or you will face tomorrow, God is taking the battle to them on your behalf for his purpose. Let me say that again. God is taking the battle to your giants on your behalf for his purpose. So the blessing that he brings in battle are so that God will be made known. And God is inviting you and I believe the whole church today to rise to the challenge of revealing his son, Jesus, to the world. And it all starts by identifying as God's people, by identifying ourselves as those who follow Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we identify? How do people know that we are God's people? Well, one way is by being people of the book, people of the Bible. And you're really living according to the revelation that the Bible brings. So before any battle was fought in the promised land with Joshua and the Israelites, Joshua reminded them that they would live in the promised land as people of the book. Joshua says in 1:8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do," what does it say? Everything. Say everything. "So that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful." So Joshua repeats this to the Israelites on the edge of the promised land, just like Moses reminded them of all the blessings that are in the Bible, all the promises that God made to Abraham. God would fulfill in the promised land as they walk with the Lord. But he also told them about the curses. We don't like to talk about those too much, the curses. Those are the things that happen when Israel walks in disobedience to the word of the Lord, when they don't follow God's ways. So why does that matter? Why does it matter for us today? Don't we live as people of grace under the new covenant? Well, yes, and Jesus affirmed to his followers this very thing. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." He said, this is the first and greatest command, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he adds, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. He says it doesn't wipe them out. It just sums them up. So we identify as the people of the book, and it's why we give away Bibles in second grade next week. So if you're a second grader or you know a second grader, then we want to invite you to bring them on Sunday so that they can receive a Bible here at Bethlehem Church, because it's that important. We give away confirmation Bibles. We do Bible studies. We do Bible blasts. We do youth group around the Bible. We read the Bible. We read the story together as a church. We identify as people of the book because that's who God's people are. We are people who identify with the book and people who identify with God in baptism. So this is one of the courageous decisions of our times, and I think we take it for granted. Baptism. You know, in the church, we assume that everybody gets baptized, and therefore, it kind of loses its appeal or significance. But baptism is extremely important. I don't think it's the case anymore where we can assume that everyone just gets baptized. The choice to be baptized has always been a significant step for God's people in identifying with God. And it matters. God's people identify and reveal whose they are. Not just who they are, but whose they are, who we belong to. Jesus promises, I am with you always. We hold on to that, right? But we don't want to forget that that promise is based upon something. It's based upon a covenant between God and his people, a promise between God and his people. God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And we recognize that when we are baptized, when we identify as God's. The promise is for those who belong. So God commanded Joshua to tell the Israelites to mark themselves with a sign of whose they were. In those days, that sign was circumcision. It was a way of identifying that God commanded in the covenant to be with his people. Before any battle, he wanted to be clear to identify them as God's very own. I think that stands for us today. When we're entering in that battle, we want to know whose we are. We want to know who we identified with. We are people of the book. We are baptized as followers of Jesus. So before Israel crossed into the Jordan, or when they crossed into the Jordan, there they were before this grand walled city of Jericho. It was a big city full of a foreign army, and they were, you know, inexperienced in battle. They were desert wanderers, and now before they go into battle, they do something that seems extremely odd. They go through this ritual of circumcision, and they become vulnerable for 3 days while they are recovering. It's a total act of courage. You know, for us today, I think baptism is a sign of that. It's a total act of courage. We are sealed in baptism. We identify as God's children who trust in Christ's sacrifice and death. And it's a courageous act of faith for every believer. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you will be my teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So I'm encouraging you, if you desire to take a step pursuing God's path for your life, then I want to encourage you, if you're not yet baptized, to be baptized. It's time for a courageous decision to follow Jesus. So we are called to courageously rise to the challenge of revealing God, God's Son. And we do it by identifying as people of the book, by being baptized, and finally we reveal God's Son when we fight the battles God calls us to. So in Joshua's day, those were physical battles. I want to encourage you today that we're not called to those physical battles in our lives necessarily as followers of Jesus, but we are called to the same kind of courage that it takes. The Lord said over and over, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged or afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's not a coincidence that Jesus reminds his followers just before being taken up into heaven, they need not worry. Why? Because he says this, I am surely with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus says, I am with you always. Fighting the battles always calls for trust in God's presence. So even in the face of overwhelming obstacles that often seem beyond our control, when God says go, we're ready to go. For Joshua, they went up against a trained army. They were a generation of desert wanderers. They didn't have the military background, but they had one thing. They had confidence to follow Jesus. And I think that's the message for us today. No matter where we stand, whether we feel that we have all of the background we need or not, what matters is our confidence to follow Jesus. We are called to be followers of Jesus. That is the single most important factor that we have, faith in Jesus. Because the battle belongs not to us, but to the Lord. We're not going to win our battles in life on our own strength. It's going to come through God's power, God's grace, God's presence, and our confidence and trust that God is with us, no matter where that journey takes. It didn't take long for Israel to learn that God does not play favorites. God does not play favorites. They went into the battle in Jerusalem or in Jericho, and one amazing, it was just shown to us here how the Israelites defeated Jericho. The walls came tumbling down, not because of what they did, but because of what God did. They went in and they had a great victory. The next one was the city of Ai. The Israelites went up to fight against Ai, and they were badly defeated, and their confidence was shaken. Do you ever feel like, you know, God gives you a victory, and then you turn around and boom, something awful happens, and your confidence is shaken? It's like, what is going on? Well, for Ai, there was something that was happening underneath. Achan, a soldier, had disobeyed God's covenant. He had kept some of the spoils of war when they were supposed to all be destroyed or given over to the treasury. He hid it and he lied, and it cost Joshua and some of his men, it cost some of the men's lives. We discover that God does not play favorites. The battle is not Israel against Cana. The battle is between God and sin. So you're going to have to be careful if we think we can play the God is on my side card. Achan's sin, it teaches us that God is with us, but God is not on our side. We need to be on God's side. I want to say that again because it's a kind of a twist or a nuance here. But we need to be confident. God is with us, absolutely. But God is not on our side. We need to be on God's side. Once Joshua and Israel dealt with that sin of Achan, God led them back into Ai and victory. And then we read in chapter 8, afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. So why did they go back and do all of that again? Because it is so crucial for them to recognize that God is calling them to his way. God is calling to walk with him, and that God will give them the victory as they walk with the Lord. They needed to be rooted and identified in God. Then Israel goes forward and defeats 5 kings in the southern campaign and 14 kings in the northern campaign. Interestingly enough, however, all these kings banded together to fight against Israel. Israel, in a sense, was defending themselves, but God was routing their opponents and giving the victory. God was giving the land over to Israel. And all this comes to fruition in Joshua 11. It says, so Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. So we don't win the battles we face because God is on our side. We win when we are on God's side and walk with the Lord, who will never abandon us. So what battles are you facing right now in your life? Maybe you've been wandering in the wilderness for some time, unable to find the strength or muster the courage to step into battle. Maybe you're just standing on the sidelines. Maybe there's an area in your life where you've given in to, hoping that maybe someone else will do the fighting for you, but knowing deep in your heart that this battle is yours to step into. Maybe you've begun to accept that it seems too difficult, that the outcome seems impossible, and that maybe the promised land for you and your family is just too far out of reach, that maybe the giants are just too big. We all feel that way sometimes. And this chapter is a wake-up call for us that we still have battles yet to fight, that now is the time to step in. Now is the time to trust God. Because God is with us right now where God is leading. Scripture says, be strong, be courageous. Say that with me if you would. Be strong, be courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, the battles that we fight today in the lower story are serving a greater purpose of fulfilling God's upper story, of making God known to the world. How y'all doing?
Excellent.
Good. Thank you. I've been finding, I'm going to go off script here. I've been finding a little bit that I've been having trouble preaching this series on the Bible. So it's kind of a narrative series. We're reading through the whole Bible. And as we do, there's just a ton of information. And, you know, and as a preacher, I want to get it all in there. I want to feed you the whole load, but it's too much. And so it's really messing with my style of preaching. So there's my confession to you. And as I read through the scripture, as I recognize what God is doing, I know that this is stuff that we need. The reason that I've chosen, and I think this is the Lord's leading, to do this series again, is because I believe we need to be rooted as God's people in the Word. We need to know the story, because what we face ahead is not the same thing we've faced in the past. What we face as followers of Jesus is going to be totally unique and totally different in moving forward. And I think as a church, we need to understand that. And so we're coming back to be rooted in the things that cause us to know our God and to follow our God and to know why we're doing it. And when we know why we're doing it, then we have the courage to do it. When we know who we're doing it for, we'll have the courage to step out and do the difficult things that we're called to. And when we know who empowers us and who is with us, then we're going to recognize that nothing is going to stand in our way as followers of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's easy. Thank you. It's easy to just go along as business as usual. I know. I just turned, I told you, 60 years old. And it seems like, you know, kind of nearing the end somewhere out there, right? Nearing the end? No, there you go. We're not nearing the end, are we? God is calling us in our whole life to continue to reveal who God is and to continue to pursue the mission that He has called us to our very last breath. And it requires each of us to step in. It requires us to step into the battles and step into those places where God is calling us to go with courage because, you know, friends, we can't do this alone, right? We need each other on this journey. Israel discovered that as they're walking, you know, that they needed to follow together, that they needed to walk with the Lord together so that they could accomplish all that God had called them to be. And that picture is a beautiful picture. Ultimately, it is to show to the nations who God is, to show His divine love and grace, to love people like Jesus loves people, and to be the church and to be a witness in the world. That's what we're called to. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful picture. We talk about it in our vision as being a Christ-centered community, connecting all generations to Jesus. You know, if we expound that, a Christ-centered community where every person is loved and equipped and mobilized for service, that means that you have a calling on your life. Each one of you have a specific purpose that God has and a specific gift to step into in order to fulfill that calling as the church. And when one of us doesn't step into it, we're missing out, aren't we? When one of us doesn't step into it, the church is missing out. And so we not only recognize that call on our own lives, but we want to encourage each other to step into that call together. You know, as the church, we have great things ahead. I believe that. And as the body of Christ, God has called us to live into this this thing that is called the church in this being God's people in ways that I don't think we fully understand and in ways that are not going to look the same as they did before. You know, our goal, I have to step back here, our goal is not actually to fill the church. Bummer, right? I love a full church. That's just an outcome of what will happen when we are pursuing the call that God has on our heart, and that is to make God known. A full church is just a reflection of what is happening when we are out in the world loving others as Christ loves us. When we are demonstrating sacrificial love and grace and serving one another. Because that's what we're called to. And friends, that's a challenge. I know. It's a lot easier to sit on my couch and watch Netflix. Okay, I'm confessing again. Than it is, you know, to go out and do some of the things that God is prompting us to do, like go make a call or have a visit, or God prompts that somebody might be struggling right now and just might need a word of encouragement and a reminder to be strong, to be courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's who we are as God's church. But we have to choose. We have to choose. The Israelites had a choice. At the end of all of this, after they had entered into the promised land, after God had given them rest, they were there, the inheritance. But now they had a choice. Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Today we say, follow Jesus. We are given a choice to courageously rise to the challenge that God has given us. Joshua says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord." In other words, I think Joshua might be saying to us today, you know, all those things that are standing in the way of you following the Lord, all those things that, yeah, you know what they are, that I know what they are, that shouldn't be there, throw them away. Get rid of them. Take a stand. Make a choice. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living. In other words, if we're going to choose to walk in those things that are not of the Lord, then God is saying, well, then walk that way, but don't expect that we're going to walk in the victory that Jesus has for us. Instead, throw those things away. Make a choice today. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The church is called to rise up today, to recommit to serving the Lord, to make a choice. Don't give up. Don't give in. You are called to a courageous trust in the Lord today. I'm going to invite us to call and response. I think we'll find this on the screen today. There we go. As I say in Joshua's words, you respond in the words that Joshua gives, and you'll see them up on the screen. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve
the Lord.
As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
As the walls of Jericho could not prevail against the Israelites, so the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So it's time for a courageous decision. We will serve the Lord. Amen. So let me close in prayer. As the praise team comes up, we're going to sing a song that reminds us of our call, that our giants, when we're following the Lord, will fall. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and love today. We thank you that you call us to be strong and be courageous. And the reminder, Lord, that you are with us wherever we go. And today, Lord, if there's someone here who is at this point of recognizing that maybe they have made choices that do not reflect your will or purpose, or maybe even feel stuck in those battles that are pulling them away from you, Jesus, and the life you have called them to. If someone here is feeling that way, the answer is this, to simply turn to the Lord, to turn back to Jesus. Jesus gave his life on the cross because of that sin. Jesus gave his life so that you could be forgiven, so that you could start a fresh life, so that you could begin anew and choose life. The words in Joshua call us to choose life today. The message of the gospel is choose life today. Ask Jesus to forgive you. His blood shed on the cross wipes you clean. And then turn to Jesus and follow him. Just simply say, Lord, today I choose you. In Jesus' name.